Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, "The number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." And let's finish on verse 19 together. Ready? "And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that the field is called in their proper tongue, Osladama, that is to say, the field of blood." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, please, would you use tonight in a special way? Holy Spirit of God, would you somehow work through this sinful, feeble flesh? Would you be able to transport the truth tonight? Though simple in the approach, eternal in its value and deeper than we'll ever know, would you please help us tonight? May we listen with a spirit-filled ear to hear what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Acts chapter 1, we have just an unbelievable story that takes place. And I use the word story. I hope you don't think that that means a fairy tale. This is reality. This is like history. You have in the first part of this chapter, Jesus, after he has been crucified and resurrected, gives the Great Commission again there in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And he is translated back to heaven after 40 days, back to heaven to where he is right now. But the Bible says the disciples were standing there as he went up, and an angel came to him and they said, "Why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus," boy, I love that statement, "this same Jesus, not another, the same one that went up is going to come the same way he left." He said, "It's time for you to go do what that man told you to do." And they start their work, and in here in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, they begin the process of the work of the church. Now, just so you know, the church had been started long before this. The church did not start at Pentecost. It was started long before then. Mr. Schofield's wrong. Can you imagine being one of the 12 disciples? I don't know about you. When I read the Bible, I put myself there. I picture people's faces. I picture how tall they were. I smell the heat of the sand and hear the sounds of the cities where they were at. And I try to put myself there as I read the Bible. Can you imagine having followed Jesus, being one of the 12 disciples? Now, the Bible says here there was about 120 people in that room where they were. Imagine a room similar to this with about this many people there. And the disciples were there after Jesus left and said, "Okay, y'all, it's our turn. It's up to us." They have to understand something. They had, many of these men knew and walked and worked with a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the physical cousin of Jesus and was killed shortly before Jesus started his earthly ministry. Just about the same time. He prepared the way for Jesus. Then Jesus picked up and kicked her in high gear. Amen. Can you imagine being one of the disciples? Can you imagine all that these disciples had seen in the last three and a half years? They saw water turn to wine. They saw Jesus stand in a ship one night while the storm was raging, and the fishermen, the men that lived in boats and lived on the water, were so afraid that they were going to die. And Jesus got up and said, "What y'all afraid of?" Stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And the wind stopped, the waves stopped, and everything was as calm as glass. And he went back down sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Amen. They watched him raise dead bodies from the grave. Now, folks, if I'd have seen that, I'm out of there. But he literally spoke and people came back to life. Many occasions. They watched him heal the sick. They watched blind people receive their sight. They lost deaf people hear their first words ever in life. They watched Jesus one night walking on the water. You say, that's not so big. You try it once. Now, I watched one guy just about accomplish it one night. My Sunday school class in South Carolina, we had this place out on the beach at certain times of the year. Nobody was out there. And there was a huge sandbar. You could walk literally about 200 yards at low tide in about knee-deep water, go out on the sandbar. Men were out there playing football, amen? Women were back cooking the food so that when we got back, we could eat. That's what it was supposed to be, amen? Well, we got busy, and all of a sudden, we realized the water's about ankle-deep on the sandbar. That meant the water was about this deep going out there. It was not a good thing. I had one guy that couldn't swim. We're leading him back. I said, watch this, guys. I let him get a couple feet ahead of me, and I just went under the water, and I came up, and I grabbed a hold of his leg. He took us to the beach, amen? It was exciting. He just about accomplished walking on water. He was beating the tar out of me across the top of that thing, too, let me tell you. I was glad I could swim and get away from him. But can you imagine watching Jesus walk on the water? The sick were healed. The disciples needed to pay their taxes, and they didn't have any money. And he said, well, you go fishing. They went fishing, and they started pulling coins out of the mouths of the fishes. I want to know which lake it was because I'm going there, amen? Matter of fact, I think we just ought to take the IRS and drown them in that lake and not worry about it. But twice they were out fishing, caught nothing, and Jesus said, hey, cast your net over on this side of the ship, and they pulled in so many fish that the ships began to sink. He restored harlots' lives. He went by a tree one day, wanted some figs off of it. It wasn't producing any fruit. And the Bible says that he cursed it, not the way you would curse it, but he told it to wither up and die. And 2 days later, they came back, and it was a crispy critter. I mean, gone. He cast out demons out of people. He, think about this. He hushed the Pharisees. That takes a lot right there. Not only that, he shut up the Sadducees. Man, he took the religious and political leaders and he told them what for, amen? And they couldn't say anything back. They prayed with Jesus. They played with Jesus. They worked with Jesus. They laughed with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They watched over 5,000 be fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes at one time. Over 7,000 fed at another time with loaves and fishes again. Can you imagine everything the disciples saw? The Bible says that there was so much that went on that the books could not contain the whole if it were all written. The Bible says that these men were his personal assistants. Can you imagine being one of those 12? I often think about that. I don't mean this. I don't know how else to say this, but for some reason, God allowed me to be an assistant pastor to Dr. Jack Hiles. I realized I was only one of about 18 or 20 people in the history of First Baptist to be considered one of his assistant pastors. I have a little taste of what that's like. And let me say it this way, I know the honor that goes with that. I know the honor of working with a man named Dr. Jeff Owens. And by the way, an honor. How foolish would it have been for one of those disciples to betray Jesus? Can you imagine? Only one of 12 people to go through all of that with him. How foolish would it be to betray that? How foolish would it be to play that game and never really be one of them? History records Judas Iscariot was that one. I want you to notice Acts 1:17. The Bible says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. The Bible says he was with us, but it does not say he was one of us. My title tonight, my thought for the night, are you with us or are you one of us? Are you with us or are you one of us? You see, will you just be satisfied with being a part of this place? Will you just be satisfied with God's hand of blessing on Grace Baptist Church and you just being a part of it? Or do you want to be one of us? I'm not talking about being a member or not being a member. I'm talking about, are you doing something about being here? You see, some of you would be upset with Judas Iscariot and you get mad when you hear that name, but some of you will sell out for far less. I've watched Christian people my whole life sell out for far less than 30 pieces of silver. They sell out for popularity. They sell out for lighter preaching. They sell out for lesser, I'll use the word standards. That's not probably the right word. I've watched people sell out because of convenience. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be with us or one of us? By the way, just so you know, I'll take everybody that wants to be just with us. As long as they're with us, we got a chance of them becoming one of us. But let me ask you a question. You get mad at Judas Iscariot, but what will you sell out for? I'm not talking about disloyalty, but what will you sell out for? You see, You may like the excitement here. You might like the presence of God here. You might like what God's doing here. But what are you doing to contribute? I realize we're a young church. We've come a long way, baby. I realize there are things that we want to do in the future. And believe me, I've got more plans than you have money or time. I have plans drawn for auditoriums. I'm not kidding. I'm dreaming big, amen. I've got plan one, plan two, plan three, and plan four. I got it all mapped out. You say, you're kidding. No, I'm not. You say, well, what if it's not here? I can redraw floor space. That's easy. That doesn't bother me. I'm not talking about just plans for a building. I'm talking about plans for people's lives. I'm talking about Sunday school classes that need built. I'm talking about boys and girls' lives that need changed and transformed. There's a young lady in heaven tonight. Thank God somebody reached them. I remember the day when I won her mommy and daddy to Christ. I remember the day when she got saved. I remember baptizing her. Though my heart's crushed, thank God somebody cared enough about them. Ask you a question. What if that was somebody else that we did not know that perished in that accident? Are they going to heaven because of you? Many of us want to be part of something successful, but we don't want to do anything to become successful. We want to live off the success of everybody else. We want to be a part of something that's successful. But do you want to be one of the successful? Let me give you just a couple thoughts here and I'll finish. Number one, don't settle for only being with us. Don't settle for only being with us. Do you know that Judas did a lot of good things in his life? Do you know that Judas participated in all of those miracles? Do you know that Judas carried fish and bread at the feeding of the 5,000? Do you know that Judas helped carry water for changing the water to wine? Do you realize that Judas was there when Lazarus was raised from the dead? He had a part in all of those things. He was on the boat the night that Jesus spoke and the winds and waves obeyed his voice. Judas was there when Jesus walked on the water in the night in the storm. He saw all of those things, but he's the one that sold out Jesus. You see, Even the good that you do is tainted by sin. Folks, none of us are as good as we think we are. Let me say that again. None of us are as good as we think we are. You'll get tired of me saying this, but I don't care. I don't care how far into sin somebody goes. They're worth reclaiming. There are people that know better and they need help to be brought back. We don't need to keep shooting at them when they're down. When somebody goes to the hospital because they're sick, the doctor doesn't walk in and say, "Puh, you're sick, let's kill you." Why do we want to do it spiritually in our churches? I don't understand that. No, they're going to do things that are stupid. No, they're going to do things that are wrong. No, they're going to do things that are sinful. But guess what? God wants them back. And so do I. Even our good is often selfish. God knew how selfish we were and told us about heaven just to entice us to do some good. Would you work as hard for God if you didn't know there were streets of gold and gates of pearl and a mansion waiting for you? See, you're selfish too. Even your good is selfish. Man, did it get quiet in here. You know that Judas spent most of his life around good people? How'd you like to spend your life around Peter? Well, probably not Peter. Peter and James and John and Jesus and the rest of the disciples. You realize that Judas spent the majority of his time with great people? He spent his life around, by the way, gave up a career to spend his life around those people. Gave up a career to spend his life around some of the greatest people that walked the face of the earth. But being around good people didn't do it all. Judas allowed the religious peer pressure and the political peer pressure to hold him back from him being one of them. Judas Iscariot never got saved. Judas Iscariot is burning in hell tonight because though he walked with those people and participated with those people, he never became one of them. Do you realize how close to salvation Judas Iscariot got? Judas Iscariot not only walked with the Savior, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to where he was sweating blood. And when Judas betrayed Jesus, Judas's lips actually kissed the very blood that would have saved him. He walked up to Jesus and placed a kiss of betrayal on his cheek that had been sweating blood. His lips touched the very blood that would have saved him. That's when he went back to the leaders, threw down the 30 pieces of silver and said, "I have betrayed an innocent man." No. He said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." He actually kissed the very blood that would soon be on the mercy seat in heaven. That's how close he was. But he wasn't one of them. He was with them, but he wasn't one of them. Do your friends push you closer to God or do they draw you away? Do the people you run with draw you closer to God or do they push you farther away? Do they encourage you to do things for God or do they discourage you from doing things for God? I don't hang around discouragers, just so you know. Now, I live with discouragement. I live in the emergency rooms of life. I live in the funeral homes of life. I live with the news like what you heard this morning. I live with that every week of my life. There are weeks in my life I have seen as many as 12, 13 people die in 1 week. Folks, I understand heartache and grief and pain, and I don't enjoy it, and I don't get callous to it. I'm glad when I got the news yesterday that tears flowed down my face. I'm not callous to it. But may I say something? I don't want to live around people that just want to discourage me all the time. I'm glad I don't have a discouraging wife. Man, I get home and she's pumping me back up. You say, why? Because that's why she married me, to pump me back up. And if she can pump me up, I can keep her pumped up. Amen? Do you know my wife doesn't know what you and I talked about in my office that's your problem? She's not my assistant pastor. She's my wife. My wife finds out when things happen as they happen, like you do, because she deserves to be a church member. She's not my sounding board. She's not my assistant pastor. I don't go to her for counsel to counsel you. Well, if that's the case, let her stand up here and preach. She shouldn't be my main counselor. He ought to be. Let me ask you a question. Are your friends like Judas or like Jesus? Will you let your lack of getting involved keep you from being one of us? I don't mean to be unkind. Pardon the expression, I'm preaching a little to the choir, but I think you ought to be here at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, as often as you can. I realize there's work schedules and sickness and vacation. By the way, I'm for you taking a vacation, but don't take a vacation on God. If you go on vacation, let me know where you're going. We'll find you a church to go to. I'm going on vacation this summer. I decided I was going to take about a week off. Amen. Say, who's coming? I have no idea. I haven't worked on it yet. I just now finally got a date set, and you don't know what it is, and I'm not telling you right now. Wait a minute. When I go on vacation, I still go to church. I chose my vacation based on the church that I would be at, not on where I wanted to go. By the way, that's a good way to plan your life. You don't move because Sears and Roebuck moves you. You move because that's what God wants you to do. You plan your life around the church, not your church around your life. That's called being one of, not just a part of. Number next. You don't have to have personal success to be with us. Please don't get mad at me. I'm for being a producer. I believe in producing. Have you noticed? I'm for success. I like success. I hate failure. I hate it with a passion, especially when it's mine. I'll put up with your failure. I can't stand mine. You don't see Judas, though, as one of the close 12. He wasn't part of what we call that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. He's always on the fringe, but he was always there. You realize you don't see Judas' name prominently amongst the disciples, but he's always listed with them. He was a lost man, but he was still listed with them. You see, you don't have to have personal success to be with us. I think if you're going to teach Sunday school, be an assistant teacher in Sunday school, work in the nursery, be a deacon, that you ought to go soul winning. That's your obligation as a Christian. And as a worker in the church, I think that position deems that you ought to do it. That's just me personally. I have never called to one person and said, I have not seen you in soul winning in 3 weeks. Where were you? That's the spirit of God's choice, not mine. If you're the one wiggling right now because it's convicting you, that's God, not me. I don't keep attendance of who comes and who doesn't. Everybody doing all right? I won't give the name, but I know a preacher who pastored for many years, and he was rough on staff. He went through a lot of staff people. It was a requirement that every week of his staff's life, they had to have a convert in church down the aisle and baptized, or they didn't get their paycheck that week. That was their requirement. Folks, I'm for being productive. I'm for us seeing people saved, but where is God calculating on that? I don't believe in driving people and holding their paycheck hostage. I believe in leading them to make them want to do more than they've ever done for God. I believe in walking point saying, follow me, let's go. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you go with me. Come on, you go with this person. We'll get it done. I've tried everything I know. I know some of you go great distances to come to church. Some of you live up in Pennsylvania and up in Maryland and Boonesboro, amen. I'm not even sure God knows where that's at. But he lives out in the boonies, amen, of Boonesboro. May I say something? That's why I tried to start soul winning up at that end of town so some of y'all could go soul winning and not have to drive the extra 40 miles round trip. I realize you can't go all the time at that certain time, but at least trying to make it convenient for you. Folks, there's no convenient in four-state region to put a church building to where everybody can go all the time for everything. But I think we ought to be as much as we can be. You know, we ought to not care who gets the credit. We ought to just be thankful and be producing what we can. I think everybody ought to do their part. Everybody could pass out a track. Everybody could invite somebody. Everybody could go soul winning. Say, well, I don't know how to do it. Show up. We'll put you with somebody that can. I think everybody could come to Sunday school as long as you're not working or sick. Now, if you got your head in the bucket, giving you heave offering, stay home, amen. Some of you catch that one by slow freight. But may I say this, we can all do something. God knows you don't want me up here singing. Shut up. There's one reason why I won't do it, amen. Now, wait a minute. Not everybody can get up and sing. I know soon you're all going to get tired of me. We're going to start a choir here before too long. Say, where are we going to sit? Out there, you're going to come up here, sing, and then sit back down. Amen. I'm for it. I want to get there. Folks, we've been at church for 7 months and 1 week. We've come a long way. Come a long way. I got people mad at me because I don't have 5 buses on the road already. Okay, where are we going to put them? Not the buses, the people. We're not ready for it yet. I just barely got 3 rooms done, amen? Brother Ron just finished painting this last one this week. I'm getting ready to start another Sunday school class. Say, which one? Just hang on, you'll see. But if I brought another 200 people in, could I do it? Yeah, we could have a big day. Are you ready for it? We'll get there. Amen. Your brother Heil said you shouldn't start a bus route for the first 5 years of within starting a church. Now, I think we're going to be above average on that one by far. But just so you know, we're not ready to go buy a bus next week. We don't have room for it. I don't even have guarantee we're going to keep this building, amen? I think we ought to have the certainty of some things before we get too committed here. Be a horrible thing to start a bus route for 3 or 4 or 5 months and then have to shut it down because we don't have a building to go to. Boy, that's a real good testimony, isn't it? I think we need to use some wisdom. And I'm not mad. Believe me, I'm not happy that I don't have a bus route right now. It's eating at me. I've been a part of a soul-winning, bus-running Baptist church for 45 years of my life. Almost 46. Actually, almost 47, amen? But may I say this, there's just some things that aren't wise. We had church for 3 months before we ever even had Sunday school because we didn't have the availability of rooms. Took a while. Oh, you were sinful, pastor. Okay, I'll answer to God for it. Not you. I believe we did the right thing. Now listen to me very carefully. Everybody supports a winning team. What are you going to do when we're not winning? Next. And I'll finish. What's the price to be one of us? This is real hard. You ready? Number one, you got to walk with God on your own. It is my job to feed you to be strong enough to walk with God 6 days a week when you're not at church. Or 5 days, including Wednesday night. Amen. Do you know I cannot walk with God for you? Do you know I cannot walk with God for my wife or my kids? They have to walk with God. Can I pray for them? Can I teach them? Can I love them? Can I help them? Yes, but I can't walk with God for them. As much as I love you, I can't walk with God for you. As much as I love the people of this church, Brother Hartman, I can't walk with God for you. You have to. Brother Jerry, you have to walk with God. Or at least sit down in a chair with him. Amen. Brother Brinklow, I can't walk with God for you. You have to. I can't read the Bible for you. You must read it. I can't just pray for you. You must pray. I can't just go soul winning and it count for you. You've got to go. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. It's my job to teach you the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit work through the preaching to encourage you to keep doing all those things. This is not what you would call an evangelistic church in preaching. It's not supposed to be. We'll have people walk down these aisles and get saved because of the preaching from time to time, but the vast majority of the people that walk the aisles are going to be because you were out in the trenches, won them to Christ, and brought them to church, and then they walk the aisle to make a public profession, not because they preached them down the aisle. That's the way God said, do it, amen? Now, we're going to have people saved. We've had a lot of people saved. And we're a young church. We're hanging in there. We're on the move. But you're going to have to walk with God yourself some. Some of you need to pick up that book, read it for yourself, and get something from God this week. Don't just rely on me. I'm not the Pope. Praise God. I ain't wearing none of those stupid-looking hats, amen? And I'm not wearing red slippers to preach in either. Good night. Yeah. Can you imagine where that dress would be if I was preaching in it, man? It'd be up over my head. That would not be a good thing. Amen. Lord have mercy. Especially if I trip up the steps again. Folks, next thing you got to do, and I don't know how else to say this. I'll say it nice, and then I'm going to say it not so nice. It's time you mature. For those of you rednecks like me, that means time to grow up. Sorry. You know, growing up, I remember, my dad is a man of few words sometimes. One day I said, Dad, how do you know when you're fully grown? He said, when you can give back what everything's been given to you your whole life. Whew. It's time, instead of you just sucking everything down, that you start giving it for somebody else to suck down. Some of you parents that have little children, you're so used to giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. The goal of giving is so that they start giving back. Some of you are going to raise spiritual welfareites in your homes because all you want to do is give. You just want to suck off what everybody else does, and you don't want to give back. Now, I realize I can't start 100 Sunday school classes next week. But I think everybody in here could step up some. Everybody doing all right? It's time to invest rather than be invested in only. Now, we're going to invest in you. But I hate to tell you something, there's coming a day, if God opens the door for us to buy this building, we got some things to do around here. We're going to build an auditorium, amen? Then we're going to put in a set of big bathrooms. Every woman in here just smiled for the first time all at one time. Glory to God. I'll have a powder room big enough for all of you to be in at one time if I have to. I've got the room back here, trust me. I already know where it's going. I've already checked out the plumbing, the water, the sewer, all of it. I know where it's going. But I hate to tell you, you're not going to put bathrooms in for $1.98. Put a set of bathrooms in is going to cost us $30,000, $40,000. Just going to tell you right up front. And that's if with us doing some of the work, just so you know. It's going to cost us $15,000, $20,000 to build an auditorium. By the way, that's a cheap auditorium, amen? One that we can expand and expand and expand three times. We're going to have to put walls up and make Sunday school classrooms. Now, wait a minute. That means somebody's going to have to invest a little. Not just be invested in. That means some of you are going to have to learn how to take the persecution a little bit. Well, somebody said something about me. No. What do you think they've been saying about Jesus for 2,000 years? You think you're being persecuted because somebody doesn't like you and somebody doesn't like your church. Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of doors have been slammed in my face? I can't even, you know, I gave up counting a long time ago. I consider it a great day soul winning if somebody doesn't slam the door in my face. I've had more doors slammed in my face than some of you have ever even knocked on. That hand right there, I promise you, has knocked on nearly a million doors. Do you know how many no's I've gotten? An awful lot. Do you know I have people that I've won to Christ, that I love, that have gotten on fire for God, that aren't even in church anymore? Don't you think that breaks my heart? Think I'm just going to go in the corner and suck my thumb and give up because somebody that I love gave up? No, I'm going forward. That's called being mature. I plan on and have done my best to raise my kids for God. Guess what? Sometimes they mess up just like your kids are going to mess up. Hopefully they land back on their feet and keep chopping the right direction. But guess what? Just because I have a kid or two or three that someday doesn't make it doesn't mean I'm going to quit. Everybody doing all right? Just because a pastor has children that don't obey everything in the Word of God doesn't disqualify them from pastoring a church. My Bible says that the pastor is to lead his home well. Guess what? Not everybody in the home is going to follow. Southern Baptists and Protestants have tried to misrepresent that verse. It doesn't say everybody in the home follows well. Guess what? God is the Father and Creator of every human being, and He only ever had one that obeyed. Guess He's a pretty bad father, huh? Guess He wouldn't qualify to pastor your church. Spiritual success is not measured by what you do. Spiritual success is measured by what you don't leech off others to do. And we've had some big days. You know, we had 52 visitors in four Sundays here. That's whopping big. Guess what? There's more out there to reach. There's more out there to reach. Our church is about twice the size of the average church in America right now. But I hate to tell you something, I'm not stopping. Say, how big is this church going to go? As big as we can reach as many people, amen? I'm not putting a ceiling on God. That ceiling might be 200, it might be 2,000. I don't know. I've asked God for a double portion, amen? And I've asked Him to do it quick because we don't have much time left. Judas saw the greatest spiritual things in history and died and went to hell. His lips kissed the very blood that could have saved him for eternity, and he died and went to hell. Some of you are living hell on earth. Hell is the total absence of the presence of God. Let me ask you a question. How's the presence of God in your life? Are you coming and taking up your spot in a chair, and that's all you do, or do you want to get involved? And I realize there's programs yet we have to start. Okay? We're going to get there. I realize I can't get everybody involved in the area you want to be involved in right now. But if there's a toilet that needs cleaned, let's clean it. Amen. There's a floor that needs swept, let's sweep it. There's there's a bed that needs slept in, you sleep in it. I'm working, amen? If there's a wall that needs painted, paint it. If there's grass that needs mowed, let's mow it. If there's a parking lot that needs swept, let's sweep it. Amen. There's plenty of things to do around here. I've got work coming. Good night. If we buy this building, y'all aren't going to ever sleep, amen? Now, I'm going to hire out some work, but one of the first things we're going to do is cut down that stupid fence out there, amen? We can park cars a little closer and a little better and a little wiser. Then we're going to build the auditorium. Then we're going to build the potties, amen? In that order. Okay? The potties will come. But I got to get the auditorium done so I can put more people in here to pay for the potties, amen? You want to donate your money? Pay for a potty, amen? Pay for plumbing. I can see a building program now, amen? Pay for your own potty. We're not putting that on the sign behind the pulpit either. I don't know about you, but I want the power of God here. Amen. And I believe God's presence is here. And as much as I know how to say this, and as kindly as I know how to say this, don't just rely on me for us to have it. I'll promise you, I'm doing what I can. I love God. I walk with our God. I do everything I know. I study that book. I walk with Him. I beg God to know what your needs are so I can help fill your needs. I do my best to counsel you and to help you. I'll be there when you're down. I'll be there when you're discouraged. I'll do everything I can. And I can't be there always at the very moment that you need me. And I realize that. Some of you struggle with your $30,000 a year budget, and I have a $350,000 a year budget to deal with. And I'm sorry that sometimes I can't answer every question immediately. There's other people that need me too. And I'll do everything I can as quick as I can, but may I say this, if you want the power of God on our church, why don't you get it on you? Amen. Do you just want to be with it, or do you want to be one of it? Are you just with us, or do you want to be one of us? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I long for our church to know God. I long for our church to love the preaching of the Word of God to the point where you'll study it yourself. You'll walk with God yourself. In a moment, we'll have the invitation. You may use the altar if you need to make a decision public. You want to join the church. You want to be baptized. You need to be saved. Or you just want to come pray. You may do it.